Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
God, where do we go from here when crises become opportunities? Cheryl has played with us the medley of hymns of 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And How Great Thou Art gives us the answer of where we go from here. It's how we live each day as followers of Christ. And if you're seeking to know what is most real in life and wondering if Jesus is that reality, today is the day that you may trust your fears by a faith in Him. And you will discover the firsthand relationship that will never forsake you or abandon you and will see you through these days and all days. It was in those days of how Luke opened chapter 6 of the book of Acts, that in those days we're reminded that, and these days God takes us forward. It is by the awareness that God wants us to give our problems to Him so that He can show them as a promised pathway forward for us. God wants you to give the problems that you're experiencing in your life right now, the pressure and the pain, the push and the pull, as well as praise that comes along the way. And what He will do with those problems is He won't leave them the same as when you gave them to Him, but He will turn them into a pathway forward. He may not totally remove them from your life, but in the midst of being with the problems, He will show you that they are more than simply pain. They are the opportunity as a way of moving forward. It's a work of the Spirit way beyond my own wisdom. When I was reading on New Year's Eve, I came across a quote from one of my favorite writers and thinkers, this profound Christian, Soren Kierkegaard. And the quote was this, that just captured me, and it became my quote for 2020, not knowing what was ahead of us, not knowing that COVID-19 would find its way to us from Wuhan, China. Not knowing that the dust from the Sahara Desert of Africa would reach the shores of the San Antonio River in South Texas. But it is the path is not the problem is the path. The path of following Jesus is not the problem. The problem we bring into the path of following Jesus, and then we discover our way through it. Psalm 23, through the valley of the shadow of death, in the presence of people who call themselves enemies. What do we experience as we travel in the path of the problems? It's that the God will anoint our head with oil and our cup will overflow, or His rod and staff will see us through. When you received your Amber Alert last night, or saw it on the screen, or caught it on the radio, that we are on high alert in San Antonio now with the COVID-19 spike. And maybe your heart did a little jump, and you're like, oh, what's next? And that kind of fear gets us alert and aware to be, so that we may be at our best, but not to control us, that we will be paralyzed and not knowing all the details. What can we do with this? Well, it was April the 12th, 1959, that then Senator John F. Kennedy was speaking in Indianapolis, Indiana, to the College Negro Fund, in which he gave the famous line in translating a Chinese character. Now, linguists since then have said that JFK got his translation wrong, but in the truth of reality, he got it exactly right. That the Chinese symbol of crisis represents equally danger and opportunity. We see this time and again in the book of Acts. We see it time and again in the 71 history of Trinity Baptist Church. We see time and again how it is that the living faith in Christ, opening a heart and mind into the lives of others, shows that danger comes along the way, but always becomes the opportunity to make the hope of God real into the lives of others. God turns problems into his possibilities so that his power can be revealed, his people can be redeemed, and his promises can be realized. That's what God will do. So God will do what only God can do. So we will do what only we can do. His power is revealed, and it is given as a gift for us. Again, a guiding verse for all of the book of Acts, in which we're focusing and centering ourselves this summer as a Trinity family, being renewed by the stories of the life of the early Christians and how it is that they put it together in their life, teaches us how in this changing world in which we are living, we may put it together in our life. The ancient future is where we are. And so it was that Jesus told the disciples, he says, I know what's coming, you don't, and you don't have to know what's coming. But what you do need to know is that the Father knows. And because the Father knows, you trust the Father. And that you're centering yourself with a strength beyond your own strength. Because if you only rely on your strength, you are in a world of trouble. But in his strength, you can. And so he said, it is not for you to know the dates or the times that the Father has set. But here it is what you are to know. That you are to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And then with that power, you don't let it sit in a bank account of your soul. With that power, you don't hoard it just to a select few. But with that power, I want you to be my witnesses where you are in Jerusalem, in the surrounding country of Judea, in your enemy land of Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Now hold on to that, because it's going to be very relevant when we step further into Acts 6. That was their calling. And like so much that Jesus says to us, it is bigger than what we can fully understand until we actually experience the reality of it. But always hold on to the truth of the statements of Jesus, the promises of Jesus, because they will show themselves to be real when we get to that situation. Now, in Acts 6, we have two contrasting situations that reveal how we may trust God. And how then, how what we can do in light of that trusting of God, the promise of which God provides for us. And first is to see, to actually see, to be able to see the problem as a promise from God to be trusted. That is, we take the problem, we said, Lord, I don't know what to do with this. And God says to us, well, I'm glad you figured that out. Now give it to me. And let me work it and shape it and form it. And let me calm your heart in the middle of the storm. Let me clarify your ways of analytical thinking. Let me hone your skills from your abilities. Come with this sense of giving me so that I may give you what is possible. Now here is their problem. Remember the Acts 1:8, witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the world. You know, it sounded really good until you had to do it. And so in the life of the early church, there were people who came from all kinds of backgrounds, men and women and boys and girls, who spoke Greek, who spoke Aramaic, who spoke Hebrew with different accents. And in the midst of their different backgrounds, they brought all those backgrounds into the early life of the church. You know, people were accepting Christ, committing themselves. They were bringing their donations, their offerings unto the Lord. But there was a problem. There was some old way of thinking that hadn't been transformed. Have you been there? There's an old way of thinking that women are not equal to men. That has to be transformed. There's an old way of thinking that there's an economic divide among people of worth, neither slave nor free. It's to be transformed. There's an old way of thinking that there's only Jews and Gentiles and people like me, but I have nothing to do with you if you're not like me. That's all changed in Christ. That when Leslie Holland comes to my new day in Jesus Christ, which each day is given, the Lord wants me to bring more of who I've been into more of how I can be today. And that means it's not a one and done in committing to Christ. It's a continually trusting in Christ. And so there was a problem. There was the Greek-speaking Jews who now were Christians, and the widows, who were the most vulnerable in their society, weren't getting a fair share of the ministries that were needed for the food and clothing and care and protection. And so they brought the problem to the church community, to the leaders in the church, to the apostles. Now, this is how the situation is done right. In doing that, then they were prayerfully prepared to solve problems because they didn't expect the faith in Christ not to have problems, but they had prayed for a wisdom when they show up, Lord, let us see your answers. And the Lord made it clear that you can see these people as being equally important, though they speak differently and have a different background than you, and they need to get an equal distribution. So, okay. And bringing that problem into the promises of God so that God may be able to reveal his way forward. Among the ways we've done that ministry today, as well as in much of our 71-year history, is with partnering with other gospel ministries, such as like Habitat for Humanity, and this photograph that shows is a sense of seeing the scene when we were again helping to dedicate a house that we'd raised the money, we'd put the labor into building of the house, but along with a family that had invested 400 hours of their sweat equity, they had skin in the game. We put skin of our skin in the game, and that family now has a home in which they're living, all under the authority of a gift of Jesus Christ. Simply a representation of God at work. And being able to see that which is there helps us to see everything else most clearly. Ken Smith brought a devotion at our trustees meeting last Monday. Did we meet in person? No. We met in a format that most of us didn't even know existed until a few months ago. And now it's one of our favorite words, Zoom. You got the Zoom address? Click on here. Please enter me into the meeting. And then as you're in the meeting, and so Ken opened up our trustees with a powerful devotion. And he opened it up with a historical example by an author unknown. The story is true. Imagine, if you will, that you were born in the year 1900. Then when you were 14, World War I had started. And it ends on your 18th birthday with 22 million people. Killed. Later in that same year, 1918, when you were 18 years old, the Spanish flu epidemic hit the planet and runs wild until you're 20. An additional 50 million people would die. When you're 29, the Great Depression begins. Unemployment hits 25%. The global GDP drops 27%. And that runs until you're 33 years old. The country nearly collapses, along with the world economy. And then when you turn 39, World War II starts. You aren't over the hill yet. When you're 41, the United States is fully pulled into World War II. Between your 39th and 45th birthday, 75 million people perish in the war. And the Holocaust will kill 6 million people. At age 52, then you will see the Korean War to start. 5 million more people will perish. As you approach your 62nd birthday, you have the Cuban Missile Crisis, a tipping point in the Cold War. Life on our planet as we know it could well have ended, but great leaders prevented that from happening. At 64, the Vietnam War begins, and it doesn't end for many years. 4 million people will die in the conflict. As you turn 75, the Vietnam War finally comes to an end, and you think of everyone on the planet born since 1900, how did you survive all of that is a question. Now, a kid may have asked, he said, don't you know how hard my homework is? Can you really understand how hard life is? Yet those parents, grandparents, great-grandparents survived through everything that's been listed above. And that it is perspective, this amazing ability to see through to see what is the hope and possibility. That not one of these dangers lasted forever. They had a time they began, and they had a time that they ended. We didn't know the ending date, but we were trusting in the Father's care, and the end came. We are living in these times, and we can be leaders by being servants, with our problems becoming the promised pathway that God sends us forward. Secondly, we see from Acts 6 that this truth, that we may step into the crisis with prayerful imagination. We don't step away from the crisis. We may pause before we step into the crisis because we've been prayerfully praying for God to show us a pathway that we can imagine how he would release his power, he would realize his promises, and he would be redeeming his people. And as we do it with that prayerful imagination, what the early leaders did, as I said, we got a problem. People aren't being treated fairly. That's wrong. That's old way of thinking. It's not new way of thinking. And so then, he said, appoint seven among you that you trust. And make sure that they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Make sure that they are wise people. And make sure that they are responsible. Now that's something every one of us can do and be in our lives. And that was a prayerful imagination that God wants to work through problems through people, helping to solve the problems in light of his power. It is immature faith when we just want God just to do it by the twist of his fingers, though he has the power from heaven to earth to accomplish it that way. But it is in this journey of life that God wants to twist and snap his fingers in the heart of our lives and to say, now, I'm with you. Trust me, you do this. And so Mark read for us the names of those seven early leaders. That was a part of an influential background with later the deacon ministry that's been a part of the church ever since unfolded. That in the midst of this promise that we see, that a prayerful imagination is seeing a future beyond the present. Last Friday, some of us were in this very space, and we had a funeral service for Bob Arburn. Yesterday, some of us were in this sanctuary again for a funeral service for Deborah Sharp. Everyone was wearing masks. And we wanted to hug, and we wanted to give handshakes, and we wanted to be able to kind of be able to just be fully expressive with our physical affection of support. But we couldn't. But what we did was offer our hearts to each other of what could be given in light of the power of the resurrection over the death that had touched this brother and had touched this sister. That's how God has been at work in our lives. Some time ago, maybe back in 2013, Dan McClendon and Buckner and I were on the front pew. We're telling stories after service. We had made Dan our associate pastor emeritus, who'd been a long-term leader in the life of our church. And along with Stuart McBurney, early pastor, Buckner's long-term pastor, and Charlie Johnson, and the gift of being able to sit down together now as a pastor in that group to tell stories. Stories about past hardships, past challenges, stories of humor, stories of human nature, and the laughter that comes along the way. Laughter is a wonderful way to pray with a prayerful imagination. It is more easy to be able to laugh when we can look back and to say, wasn't that a wild time? And look how God got us through. But the capacity with an imagination to see that God is providing an answer with his presence now that we're to be a part of before it's been fully realized. Now that's faith that is fun beyond the circumstances. And that's where we need it now. Our world is stressed. San Antonio is stressed. And we're doing a lot of talking at each other and not a listening with each other. And our capacity to truly listen to the heart needs of people and find the language bridges that can communicate the hope to each of the problems so that someone knows that they can be safe in a space in being together with you and the gospel. That doesn't mean we're not challenged. It doesn't mean we're not uncomfortable. It doesn't mean we don't have to grow. But it means that there is a way to do that, and these seven provided that in this moment. These seven early deacons in the life of the church. Thirdly, crises become opportunities when they are seen as problems placed into the hands of God, where He reveals the promises as a pathway by which we may serve Him and give the answers. It happens by this understanding and this commitment that He gives to us of number three. And in that promise, what He shows us is the promise of His power that He wants to build. He wants to be able to shape a God-sized future from our problems. The three images you see here are from the architect I mentioned, Bob Arburn, who, a man who'd come here after graduating, coming from Pueblo, Colorado, to the University of Texas Architectural School, began a firm here. He envisioned then the control tower at our San Antonio airport. And when you begin to start flying again, you'll see a control tower and know that Bob was a contributing architect in its structure so that we may depart safely and land safely. For those here like Haley and the sense of the gift of being in the presence of God, like with Hudson, just two blocks down at Trinity University, the Bell Tower Trinity University was designed as an architect by Bob Arburn. You look at it and you see, okay, there's a story. Or the story where Chad Gamage, Chad is here, he is our new general manager of Salem Communications in San Antonio, and Salem is the largest Christian broadcasting company in America. And we partner with KSLR and Salem Communications with our program every morning at 6:30 a.m. They've given us an additional time at 6:30 in the evening of living your best life, Monday through Friday, and then Sunday morning at 8:30. Chad, welcome in from Seattle. And the building that you're working in, or I go to record programs, was designed by the same man, Bob Arburn, award-winning McAllister Plaza. Now, the prayerful imagination that stirred Bob as an architect to say, what is the need? What's the function? And what form is it to take? And our lives as followers of Christ in this time is to do that. So Stephen, one of the seven, then took his life and stepped it forward and began to share the gospel not only with the Greek-speaking women who were widows and believers in Jesus, but he continued to do so in sharing the story on the streets of Jerusalem and in the temple. And as he did so, there was opposition by other Greek-speaking people. And they first tried to argue it out with him. But his wisdom was so strong. His power was so strong, and his wisdom was so clear that they couldn't defeat him that way. And so what they did is they started telling lies about him. And they started distorting him and his message, so that saying that he was undoing all that had been said in the Old Testament. And all their accusations were false. But what he was saying, it was all being fulfilled by the Messiah in a new age that comes to fulfill all of Moses into their day. And as they got angrier and angrier and angrier, what they could see in the face of Stephen was someone who had the look of an angel. A real human face with a deep sense of peace found in the purpose of God. Because he had found the source of how it is that crises become opportunities in light of danger. What can you do in these days? What you can do is just begin saying, Lord, as you begin a day and you feel a fear, give it to God. What can you do in this day? When you feel the fear, said, Lord, help turn this fear into faith. And as that faith begins to churn and give you a calm, say, now, Lord, what do you want me to do today? How is it that through me, you want to reveal your power. How is it that through me you want to redeem the lives of people? How is it that through me you want to show your promises being realized? And very simply in your life, asking those questions, coming with those answers, God will do through you what could not be done otherwise, but through you it can be done. Step into the crisis, not away from it, to be a people who shape a world because the Christ of the cross trumps any crisis. You show it, you live it, people see it, and change happens. To you, O Lord, whether by Facebook Live or live stream or here in person, so it is, this is a sacred time. Say, Lord, I just freshly give myself to you. Maybe you've been a follower of Christ and you just feel a renewing power. You said, Lord, I'll let you do your update in my life. Maybe you've been a seeker and you're wanting to know, is the promise of Jesus real? And you say yes today, not because all your questions have been answered, but enough of your questions have been answered to lead you to a faith commitment. And you accept and you believe and you commit. Now, right now, don't back off now. To join into a movement of God called Trinity, whether you are in another part of the world, we're glad to be with you through a broadcast. The sense of our being here together, step into the family experience of knowing that we belong. We belong as a people of God on a great mission. Oh Lord, let it be that this invitation is a time to pray, a promise as we go forward.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.